You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Thank y'all. So it's me. Wow. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor said no longer than 3 hours. That should be plenty to get most of us saved. It was good getting saved last week, though. I have to say that. Praise the Lord. But Kathy and I, it's just a joy to be here, Pastor. I tell you, we love you guys. And every time we get to meet you and or see you up there in Michigan. Michigan, if you don't know, Michigan is the place where, you know, it's not the outermost parts, but you can see it from there. And it's also the place of the most losing team this year in NFL, Detroit Lions. And I'm telling you, and Kathy tells me every week, she gets on me, she says, honey, they're bad because you're speaking all this negativity over them. You've got to change your confession. I said, I'm not changing my confession. My confession is, go Tony Romo. Come on, somebody. He's back. Okay, but anyway, praise the Lord. Anyway, hey, they could pull it off. Absolutely. Moving right along. But really, you understand Michigan and their stinking teams, don't you? You understand that here in Texas. Moving right along, even farther, but no, it's a joy to be here. You know what? This is what I love about this church, Pastor, our first time here, but this is what I picked up immediately, is that you are who you say you are. You're International Outreach Church. And what we heard up here already is people from testimonies from like our brother here that spoke about getting the healing. And I believe it was because the Mrs. Pastor preached. I'm sure that was it. All the way to, was it Larry back here? Fred. Okay, his new name is Larry. All right. Larry's the one you led to the Lord. Praise God. That is so powerful. But you're reaching out. See, a lot of churches, they reach in. They're inward focused. And your church is outward focused. And this is beautiful. This is what it's all about. See, you know what I like about this church? I can sense what you wanted to do today is you wanted to reach up to God. You reached up, you worship God, and you're giving Jesus all the praise for everything that's happening here. That's beautiful. But yet Jesus is thanking you for reaching out. And then we can be, you know, inward focused a little bit with each other and blessing each other and helping each other and encouraging each other, praying for one another like we did. This is an awesome church. This is what it's supposed to be. This is what church is supposed to be. And you know, I guess I'm just going to talk for a little bit. Can we do that? Can we just get real with each other today? How many would say, let's get real? Okay, look at the person next to you and say, those people behind us, they're going to really need help today. This is going to help them. But I just sense a good spirit here, and I sense that, you know, we just need to get real again with the gospel. And you love the gospel. It's that good news. You made that confession today. This is what I see about Jesus. This is what I love about Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is so awesome. He's like one of my bestest heroes. How about you? This is what I love about Jesus, is he made everything so simple. And sometimes in churches, and by accident, a lot of times, and I don't think it happens here, but I think sometimes we've tried to make the gospel or make Christianity a lot harder and tougher than what it is. It's so simple according to Jesus. You know, another thing I found about Jesus that I love about Jesus is that the people who were the most unlike Jesus loved him the most. They liked Jesus. Can you believe this? I mean, the people that were so unlike Jesus, you know, the sinners, you know, the prostitutes, you know, the beggars, the people that were the outcast of society, they liked Jesus. Now, you know what else blows my mind? Is that Jesus actually liked those kind of people because they were real. People with real problems, and Jesus could feel their pain. Jesus came to help those kind of people. It's cool. When you think about it, when you think about the people that really had the hardest time with Jesus, it was the Pharisees. You know, it was the religious bunch. And, I don't know, most of you might be members here today. Some of you might be first-time guests. I didn't really, I raised my hand when first time here. I don't know if there's anybody else. But if you are, maybe you're not familiar with church. Or maybe you went to church when you were younger or something, and you figure, you know, well, church is, here's what we've done. And I don't think your pastor does this, because I know his spirit, and that's why we like each other. We just want to be real with people. This is what we've tried not to do in our church. I'm sure I've made a mistake on it before. But what we do is we don't do it on purpose. But sometimes the church has put off this air that church is for people who are good. People who are perfect, you know, like you. I want everybody perfect. Raise your hand, okay? Now, see, you know, good. I like this church. That's why I feel so welcome here. None of you are perfect, and neither am I. You know, but sometimes we put off this thing, and people don't want to go to church or don't want to get hooked into a church because they think, well, I know church is for people who are good, people who are perfect, people who've got it all together, and that's not me. And you know what is exciting is this church is just like our church in Michigan. We say, no, church is for everybody because Jesus is for everybody, and Jesus loves everybody, and Jesus wants to save everybody. Isn't that beautiful? So I love the spirit of this church because that's what you're putting out. This church, doesn't matter, you know, where you came from, what you're going through, what you're into right now. You know what? Jesus loves you just the way you are. Now, you know, another thing I know about Jesus, he loves you so much that when he loves you in the kingdom and then he says, now I love you so much more, let's start working on some stuff and changing this and changing that and changing that. That's what I like. You know, one time, Jesus gave me this revelation one time years ago in my ministry, and he said, Carl, you need to catch fish before you clean them. I'm like, wow. Every fisherman would understand that, right? What I was trying to do is I was trying to just preach, you know, clean, 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 get clean, get clean, and not even realizing that they weren't even caught yet. I had to let the love of God catch them. And you know what? We just need to let the love of God catch people. And when God catches people, then he'll start cleaning them. And you know what? That's why you're here. If you're a Christ follower today, that's what I call a Christian. How many know the first time Christianity or the word Christian was used in the Bible was used as a slur against those Christ followers? Well, I'm here to stand and tell you that I'm a Christ follower. How about you? Raise your hand if you're a Christ follower today. Amen. You love Jesus more than peanut butter. Come on, somebody. Amen. Yeah, God's good. Well, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your spirit. And Lord, we sense your spirit in this place. Lord, we sense such a good spirit, a spirit of compassion. The spirit of Jesus is in this place. And Lord, that you would draw us all closer to you today. If we're Christ followers on the journey already, that Lord, you would just draw us closer to you to become more like you, Jesus. And if there's some here today that have never made you Lord of their life, today would be their day to say yes to you, Jesus, that you're not here to condemn them. You're not here to judge them. Sin has already been judged in the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Jesus, you already judged sin for us. So all we have to do is receive what you've done for us. So, Lord, I ask you now to let your love and your spirit touch every soul, every heart in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? You know, Jesus made things so simple that, and I've got some verses here for you, but he made things so simple that this is what he said in Matthew 22. I want to start there today, and I want to talk about the love of God. I just think sometimes, even as a Christ follower myself anyway, sometimes, you know, if someone says, well, you know, God loves you, you know, it's real easy to say, oh, yeah, I know it. And yet sometimes I maybe dismiss that revelation of the love of God, how strong that love is. That love of God is so strong that it will literally change your life. It's the love of God that draws us to repentance, is what the Bible says. How many know that? It's not the wrath of God that draws you to repent. It's not the judgment of God that causes you to repent. It's the love of God that draws us to repentance. And then he says in Romans 5:5 that the Holy Spirit has put the love of God in our heart. The love of God has been put in our heart by how? The Holy Spirit. I'm telling God's all about love. I preached a sermon in our church a couple weeks back, and it was about this crazy love of God. And the word crazy, I was looking it up, and I was giving some definitions of that word. And the greatest word I could come up with is gaga. Anybody ever hear the word gaga? Man, he just gaga love over you. Like, I'm gaga love over Kathy. And Kathy is just super gaga in love with me. Come on, somebody. this is awesome stuff right here, people. This is good stuff. But God, and you know what? It's amazing because, the whole message was about the gaga love of God. God is gaga over you. And I want to just remind you today, if you forgot that God loves you right where you are, see, you think sometimes God loves you because of your performance. But no. If you're performing right, God loves you. If you're performing wrong, God loves you. That's called the grace of God. You know, some people say, well, when you preach that stuff, you know what's going to happen. People just think they can just do whatever they want to do. People are going to think they can do whatever they want to do anyway. We're just trying to tell you the love of God. See, the love of God will draw us to His goodness and to His holiness. How many know that? So I start talking about this gaga love of God. And as I start talking about the gaga, God is just gaga over you. Here's a girl that was in our church years ago, and she left the state, got married, and was just traveling, doing some different things, just a young gal, and she went through this tragic divorce. Her husband left her for another girl and was just messing around, and she found out it was a hairy, crazy thing, and I'm sure no one here has ever gone through anything like that, but it's I don't know about you, but this is what I liken divorce almost to. I would say almost worse than losing a mate to death. Because, and I'm not making light of either one, but I'll say this, if you've lost someone that you really loved in death, that's tragic. How many's ever lost somebody? Yeah, that's tragic. It hurts. You get over it. Divorce, it's almost the same thing, but the person you lose is still around to kick you in the teeth and to keep it going. That's got to be tough. Well, that's what she was going through. Well, she came back into Michigan for work and different things, and she was saying, I got to get back to church. And said, well, I don't know if I want to go back to that church because, they knew me before, and da-da-da-da, and I don't want to go all through all that. And so she was crying on a Saturday night, and she said, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but what do you want me to do? All I know, God, is I love you, and do you still love me? God, do you still love me? Do you really love me after all this that I've done? And she said she felt in her heart that Saturday night, go to Faith City. Go to Faith City. She came the next morning, and I taught on the gaga love of God. I kept saying, God is gaga about you. And I'm telling you, during the whole service, the girl just cried, and God just did a healing in her soul. That she was reminded that God loved her no matter what she's done or gone through, and that's the way it is today. And I'm telling you, there's a handful of us in here today that feel that same thing. I don't know if it was last night or the day before that, but you just cried out and said, God, can you still love me after I've gone through this, after I've done this, after I even just thrown this in your face, God, can you still love me? And He's here to tell you this morning, He's gaga in love with you, and that doesn't change. It doesn't change. Because God's love isn't based on your performance, it's based on His love for us, His grace, and His mercy. Isn't that powerful? Now, these verses we're going to read here, what I want to read in Matthew 22, and this is what I found is Jesus said some awesome things about commandments and what we're supposed to do. But look what the context of this that he gave us in verse, it gets smaller every time I read it. 34, there it is, verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, and how many know they were called Sadducees because why? They were always so sad, you see. Okay. And the Pharisees, look at this. This is cool. So the Pharisees got shut up by Jesus. They asked him a question. He kind of shut them down. And so what? The Pharisees, another group, they get up and they it's our turn now. So the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, full of religion, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Trying to test Jesus. I'm telling you, you can't test Jesus. You're always going to lose. How many know that? If you try to put a test to Jesus, you're always going to lose. How many know that? By experience. Come on. Yeah. Look what Jesus said. Jesus replied, and this is so powerful. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I still remember some of the brothers preaching that everything hangs on love. And they had a coat rack out and put some hangers on it. Here's faith works by love. I mean, no, faith worketh by love. The Bible says, so faith, you got to put the faith hanger on there, the healing hanger on love. You got to put the deliverance hanger on love. You got to put it all on it all hangs on the coat rod, if you will, or the closet of love. Everything hangs on love. Two things he said here, love God and love people. Say love God. And love people. He said, "It's everything hangs on that." He said, "Everything is in these two commandments: love God and love people." It's simple, isn't it? Just love God and love people. That's really all he wants us to do. Love him with everything we have. I would say it like this: what does that mean to love God with everything you mean, with everything you got? I would like to say it like this: you focus everything on God first. You get your focus on God first. Can I hear an amen? Is this a Pentecostal church? Okay, you Word of Faith, Pentecostal, what are you, Methodist, what are you, Catholic? Come on, somebody. Give somebody a high five and say, amen, that brother. Looks like he needs help. Come on. So he says, everything hangs on this. Love God, love people. That's powerful. That's powerful. You know, I'd like to say it like this. You know what I see these verses? These verses here, how many of you ever in college you would use Cliff Notes to get the idea of whatever the subject was, you get an idea, or a book or something, you got Cliff Notes. I would say this was Jesus giving us the Cliff Notes of the Bible. This is the Cliff Notes of the Bible right here. Love God with everything you got and love people like yourself. Oh, yeah, cool. You get those down, you're going to do it. Why? Because you think about it. I am not going to mess up my brother or my sister if I'm loving them and loving God. I'm not going to mess up, you know, God's plan for my life if I love God and I'm loving other people. How many know that if you can love God and love other people like you love yourself, you know, it's going to be okay. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So you know what? I want you to say to the person next to you, from this day forward, this is my commandment. Love God with everything and love other people like I love myself. This is powerful. The first thing he said, I think he said it like this. The first commandment is love God. So you got to love God first. You know why we can love God first? How many know the answer? Because he loved us. Because he first loved us, we can love him. Isn't that beautiful? So this is what God says. He's saying, okay, I love you. And so in response, I want you to love me. I just want you to freely love me with everything you got. I want you to put all your focus on me. Focus on me first. You know, sometimes we get things so hard. We get hard on ourselves. We get hard on others. We get hard on church. We get hard on our preachers. We get hard on just everything and almost gets over into religion. We get hard on stuff because we forget it's so simple. It's just love God. We get hard on ourselves about prayer. You're not praying enough. Well, what's enough? Where in the Bible does it say it must be this much to be enough? Do you pray 1 hour a day? 3 hours a day? Is this making sense? How many hours of prayer do you need to pray till you feel like you have been now accepted by God? See, there's nothing there. But here's what's simple. Simple prayer is this. I love God with everything I have, so I focus on Him. People ask me, how often do you pray? About every moment I'm awake. Now, sometimes I take intensive personal prayer on my knees in my prayer closet or my Bible study. That's communication with God. What is prayer anyway? Prayer is communication with God, two-way communication with God. And you know what? My whole day I'm focused on communication with God. I'll be just cracking up a joke with my wife and I'll be saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you know what? His presence is there and you're there and He's there and you're loving Him. See, we make things so complicated. Now, I know there is prayer rules and there's prayer things. You know, what I'm trying to do this morning, I'm not trying to say this the only way. I'm just saying we make it so complex sometimes when it's just so simple. God just wants us to focus on Him. He created us to enjoy Him. Isn't that beautiful? So He says, I'm going to love you first, and then I want you to do this. I want you to love me. Okay, I love you, Lord. Focus on me. All right. And now when you focus on me, I'm going to give you something to do. And I want you to just to run with it. I want you to just to go with it. And you just follow me, right? Yes, Lord, because I love you with everything I got. And so then he tells us to do stuff. And you know what happens? When he tells us, we say, yea, Lord, I shall follow. Waiteth one moment, please. And then we go and we grab all our baggage. Because we got it. Lord, I'll be right there. Just a minute. I got a few bags here. They're heavy, but I got to bring them with me because this is all my stuff. And what we do is we carry all our stuff trying to love Jesus. And Jesus says, no. I want you to focus on me so I can deliver you of your stuff. And we say, Lord, I'll follow you, but I'm bringing stuff. What kind of stuff? I'm telling you, people got all kinds of stuff. You know what? I'm telling you, now you even have to pay extra for your stuff when you're flying. I had to pay an extra $15 just because I had baggage. And an extra $15 for Kathy's bag because she had baggage. And this is just the baggage you see. The stuff you don't see? Oh, that's cost. You know what it's cost me there? Wrinkles. Gray hair. I mean, Botox won't even take this out. Come on. You know what we do? We say, yes, Lord, I'll love you with everything, but I got stuff. I got things in my life I'm bringing with me. And you know what? I tell you, you can't love God and you can't love other people if you got a lot of stuff. God wants to relieve us of our stuff. And I think God wants to relieve us this morning of a lot of our baggage. You know, I told our people, I said that what you need to do is get connected to God's Love Airlines because he's guaranteed to lose all your luggage. Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, yeah. See, well, what's luggage? Luggage is, you know what we do? We have a lot of baggage that we bring in with our in our life. We have emotional stuff. A lot of you might be dealing with emotional stuff today. Things that happen. People have said things over the years. And you've taken it a hit in your heart, in your soul. And you just carry that with you and say, I know, God, you love me. And I know I'm supposed to love other people. But you know what? It's hard to love other people when you can't love yourself. That's why I think he put that little thing in there, Pastor, where he said, love others as you love yourself. You know, I found out why some people are just real mean. It's because they're not so mean at you because they don't like you. It's they're mean because they don't like themselves. And they're mad at themselves. You know, I find a lot of people that are hurting just because they're mad at themselves. They got emotional baggage they carry around. And, you know, the sad thing about any kind of baggage, no matter what kind it is that it keeps you connected to your past. And God wants you to get over it so you can get connected to your future. Because our future is so much better than our past. See, if your past was without Christ, I'm telling you, you got a lot of baggage you just need to get rid of. Just say, God, I got to leave that. I'm going to show you how to get rid of it today. It's real simple because everything in the gospel is simple. But you got to get rid of it because if you carry your baggage with you, it'll hurt relationships in the future. It'll hurt your relationship with God in the future. It'll hurt your relationship with yourself in the future. A lot of people have emotional baggage they carry with them, emotional things of, well, this one said that and this one said that. And you understand how? You know, I had to deal with something when I remember when I was in first grade. They told us, they said, now, it's raining outside. You're going to go out for recess. But when you go out, don't play in the mud puddles. I mean, it was done raining, but there's mud puddles. Don't play in the mud puddles. So what does Carl do? First thing we go out there, I go jump in the mud puddles. Isn't that what you would do? Come on, somebody. But they told you not to do it, Carl. I don't care. Mud puddles, good. Little boy, mud puddles, come on. There's a connection there. There is a connection going on there, man. So what happened? So it wasn't that part so much as what happened afterwards when I came back in. I was the only one in the mud puddle, so the teacher made me take off my socks and shoes in front of all the class. And I was so embarrassed because my socks had holes in them. I'm telling you, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that really affected me for a long time. Actually, it still affects me. I can't wear socks if they have holes in them. Anyway, moving right along. It's baggage. I'm getting rid of it this morning, I'm telling you. It's expensive buying socks every week. All right. Emotional baggage. You know what? Other people might have baggage called religion. And you know what? Sometimes it's really hard to connect into a church pastor or connect with other Christians and believers, because if you were raised up in church and maybe you had a parent that was, you know, like all of us, sometimes not doing the same thing at home like they talked or acted like at church, we call it hypocritical. And because of that, you saw the difference there, and it turned you off about religion. Or maybe a pastor said something to you. I actually know a church where a person went in there and they said, "Are you expecting to come in this church dressed like that?" And it was a lady that just had pants on. Come on, I expect ladies to have pants on, don't you? Come on. But I mean, they said, "You can't come in here dressed like that." What? What is the outward? And I understand maybe there's a dress code, but to me, as long as they got clothes on and they're coming to church, they want Jesus, come on, somebody. That's what it's all about, isn't it? They had to deal with that for years. Religious baggage they carried with them. What about just the kind of baggage that, you know, that divorce brings? Separation, you know, death, all that stuff that we go through. It's baggage, people. And I'm telling you, the thing is, if you don't get rid of your baggage, it's going to keep you connected to your past. Yes, Lord, I love you and I will follow, but Lord, I got connections here. And God wants us to cut the cord, lose the bags. Today, it's our time to lose the bags. Can I give you some things that God showed me about losing bags? Look at the person next to you and say, "Man, those people behind us, they need this, don't they?" Whatever we keep as baggage keeps us living in the past and affects our walk with God, affects our future. This is what I like, 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Let me give you a verse here. It says this, "Love covers," here's my translation, "love covers a multitude of baggage." God covers, His love covers a multitude of sin, it says. And we got to lose our baggage. Look in Isaiah 43. I got a verse here in Isaiah 43. I love this verse. Verse 18, it says, "Forget the former things." Now here's the first step. We need to do this today, people. If you've got baggage of the past, I don't care if, well, you know, this one, man, that was so tough. When they left me, it was so hard. I said I would never love anybody again. Or this church, the pastor ran off, did this or that. And you know, I was hurt and stunned, and I would never have a relationship with anybody in a church again. Or you know, it might even be an addiction. Maybe an addiction that you have today. And you say, you know, I have this addiction to pornography, or I have this addiction to pain medication, or I have this addiction to whatever, food. My goodness. People are addicted to sugar. You know, it's a sad thing. I mean, it's in everything that we eat just about. How many know that? You know? And that's baggage that we have for whatever reason. Are you listening to me? And he says, well, we've got to do the first step we've got to do is we've got to forget the former things. That's what he says in Isaiah here. Forget the past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Can you see that I want to do a new thing in your life? That's what God wants to do. He wants to do a new thing in your life today. There's a handful of you today that you are so excited about that you're getting your hope back, because today is the day God is saying, listen, can't you see that I want to make your future so much better than your past has been? I don't want you to have to hang on and struggle any longer with that baggage of the past. I want to set you free from it today. So you can just have that hope, and you can just run and be free and really have a good relationship with your family again, with your church again, with other believers again, with God again. Isn't that beautiful? And with yourself again, too. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He says, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people. I'm kind of moving ahead to verse 20 there. My chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Isn't that beautiful? God wants to do something powerful in your life. First thing, what do we got to do? We've got to forget. You got to forget. Look at the person next to you and say, I got to just forget some stuff. You got to forget some stuff. Then you have to forgive some stuff, right? Say forgive. Man, forgiveness is a big thing here. Forgiveness is big. I got a verse here in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 13 it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. Isn't that powerful? That's what these brothers are doing in prison, aren't they? This is what they're doing, man. They're having to release people. They got to forgive people. You know, they're not just incarcerated behind bars. They got bars on their soul. Most of them, that's why they end up there. They had so much baggage of their past, they end up in an actual literal incarceration because they were incarcerated in their souls. They were bound in their life, in their heart. They got to forget the past. They have to forgive people. They have to forgive things. They have to forgive themselves. And you know what? Some of us, we might not be incarcerated in a prison like that, but some of you are in a prison that you've made of your own. And you kept yourself there. And you feel, you know, your prison might be, I put myself in a prison of loneliness and I will not have relationships with people because I've been hurt too many times. And so you can be in a crowd of people like this, or you can be in a crowd of people anywhere, and you can feel like, you know what, I feel like I'm still alone even though all these people are around me, because you put those bars there yourself. And it's time to break loose from that. Because you can't really love God like you really want to love God with everything you got if you're connected and hanging on to your baggage or your past. You can't do it. I like that. Say forgiveness. And I want you to write something down here. I think this is a powerful statement. I want you to think about this for a minute. Because we all probably, you know, I'm always saying, okay, God, is there somebody I need to forgive here? And, you know, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I really am. And I don't, you know, I it's really easy for me to forgive people. Sometimes people ask forgiveness and I'm thinking like, for what? And if they need it, I say, you got it, but I don't get it. But then there's other folks, and maybe some of us today, that, I mean, it's so easy to take offense on stuff. I mean, any little thing. And, well, I know what they meant when they said that. Well, they said, do you want to go to lunch? No, what they really meant was you're not good enough to eat with us, and we know you're going to turn it down, but we're just asking because we're making funny. What? I mean, they just make this big mountain out of nothing, and you're like, dude. Dude. Dude, you know, that's how we communicate, right, guys? And we know, depending on the expression of dude, we understand what they mean. Dude. Right? You don't see ladies doing that. Do that? No. But forgiveness, write this statement down. This is powerful. Forgiveness is not a justice issue. It's a baggage issue. See, forgiveness is not a justice issue. It's not, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. You know what? I can't think of anybody that's ever done anything that does deserve forgiveness, including myself and yourself. It's not that we deserve it. It's not a justice issue. We're going to forgive them because they deserve forgiveness. No, you know, everything we've done is probably, you know, intentional or not. It's hurt somebody in a mistake or, you know, wasn't right or whatever. But it's not a justice issue. It's a baggage issue. If you don't forgive, you connect yourself to that offense. You connect yourself to old baggage, and you connect yourself to the past, and you don't want to go there. You don't want to stay there because God wants to take you into something new, something better, something more awesome than you could ever, ever experience. But you got to forgive. You got to forgive. Has anybody ever had an opportunity to forgive somebody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Look at that. I want you to look around. I want you to see that you're not the only one. It's all of us. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus said this in Matthew 18, verse 25. He said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. And what was that verse about? That's when, remember, the one guy, he had a big debt that he owed, and he went to the guy he owed it to and bowed down to him and said, man, please forgive me. I don't have the money. Please forgive me. And he says, okay, I forgive you. No problem. Go, you know, and be forgiven. He went off, and another guy owed him just a couple bucks. And the other guy says to him, hey, man, you just got forgiven. How about forgiving me? No way, man. You got to pay me back. And he held that offense against him. Even though he was forgiven for something greater, he held on, and he was connected to that offense because he wouldn't release that guy. Isn't that something? Well, the other guy found out, the first guy. A lot of guys here. Dude. And so the first guy says, hey, to the second guy. Hey, the third guy, you didn't forgive. First, second, and third guy. Like first, second, and third John, right? Come on, people. Work with me. And So he said, you didn't forgive him like I forgave you. He said, no. He said, well, then torments for you. You know what he's saying? He's saying torments come when you don't forgive. And it might not even be tormenting to the other person, but it'll be tormenting to the one who won't forgive. You've got to forgive. It's tormenting to carry your baggage around, your emotional luggage, your addictional luggage, all that stuff of the past. It's really tormenting to carry that around, and you know it. And it's time to release it. Some of you we need to be really strong and say, it's time to forgive that person. This thing has been too long. You've been playing with it. You've been listening to it. You've been rehearsing it. And you've been keeping yourself in the past. And you can't do what God has asked you to do. And God has asked us just to love Him with everything you got and love other people. And you can't do either to the degree that God wants you to, because you're hanging on to that stinking past. It was bad. We understand that. It wasn't right. We understand that. It was tough. We understand that. Get over it. I love you. But get over it. It's time. You all right? It's mandatory. Write this down. It is mandatory to lose our baggage if we're going to walk free with Christ. And you know what? It's real easy to lift your hands in church today and lift your hands and worship God and sing the songs and sing the choruses. And all the time in your heart, you've got tons of baggage you're carrying around because you won't release that person. You won't release your dad. He walked away from the marriage or, you know, from the family. Or you won't release that uncle or that preacher or that. Job situation or whatever the situation was. And you lift your hands and say, I love you, Lord, with all I've got. I love you, Lord. And the Lord's saying, yeah, but you won't follow me. Yes, I'll follow you, but you don't love. Yes, I'll love you, Lord. Okay, well, let's just go. Well, just a minute, I've got to get my bags. No, it's time to put it on God's love airlines and let Him lose the baggage. He'll do it. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, let's look at a verse there. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. He's saying it's time to lose the luggage. Time to get rid of everything that hinders us, that slows us down in our walk with God. Can you see that? But then he goes on to say, and here's the third point, because the first thing we do is what? We've got to forget the past. Number two, we've got to forgive people of the past. We've got to forgive ourselves to lose the past. And number three, we've got to focus. We've got to focus our eyes. Look what it says in verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Let us fix or focus our eyes on Jesus. You got to focus. You got to forget. You got to forgive, and you got to focus. You got to focus your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because He's the author. He's the initiator. He's the one who initiated this thing in your life. It's this beautiful walk of faith in your life. And it says He's what? Also the what? The perfecter of our faith. What does that perfecter mean? It means we're in the process, and He's not done with us yet. He's working on us. Isn't that beautiful? He's the initiator, and He's the one that's who's working on us, helping us become everything that He wants us to be. Isn't that awesome? He said, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him. What's His joy set before Him? He saw you and I released from all our past baggage. Isn't that beautiful? That's what He sees. He sees all of us released. And He went to Calvary so we could be released. Isn't that powerful? Focusing my eyes on Jesus keeps me from focusing my eyes on my baggage. Now, here's what we've got to do. We've got to do something. Say, do something. We either today, here's what we have to do by faith, and we're going to do this together. We're going to do this. We have to do, you only have two choices here. You either hang on to your baggage, or you check it on God Love Airlines. It's only two choices. And I think you'd be a lot freer if you checked it on. What do you think?